and I'd like to welcome now Linda Siegel with today's legislative update.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning. So,
I'm sorry you didn't get out to the big rally yesterday of 1 billion women rising.
I know. I feel terrible about it, but I'm so glad that 1,000 Santa Fe women went and the men who love them. Tell us about it.
It was really great. I just went out for a few minutes because, you know, it's kind of toxic up there in the Capitol, and I thought, I'm going to go out and get some good energy. And I just went out there for a few minutes and danced and felt so much better when I
Yay.
Went back in.
I'm so glad. I was sitting here in the Santa Fe Baking Company.
All right.
All right. 1 billion rising all over the world. There's an article in the New York Times about the billion rising in Delhi in India. And
wow, they
good
really
place to be
need,
doing that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, they're looking fabulous. So let's talk about what's going on in the legislature. I guess yesterday was the last day that you could introduce a bill.
Yes, and there were many, many bills introduced yesterday. That people kind of wait and pile them up, and then they introduce them, and there's probably a couple hundred bills added as of yesterday.
And they may be of public service or nefarious natures, and we will see that as the session goes on.
Yes.
Now, there is a big part of the legislature, as we talked about last week, is passing the budget, and a big part of knowing what's in the budget is knowing how much revenue you have coming in from taxes and other sources. So, what do we got?
Well, we were all awaiting anxiously the consensus report, and consensus means that the Legislative Finance Committee and the governor's administration, who both do budgets, that they would agree on the revenue, and that was supposed to be released on Monday. And evidently they couldn't agree, because the Legislative Finance Committee came out with their assessment that we had $24 million less dollars to spend this next fiscal year, and the governor's people said we have the same amount. So,
are they not looking at the same data?
I think they are looking at the same data. It makes it kind of scary, doesn't it?
In my next life, I'm going to be a forensic economist. But anyway,
what does that mean for us? What it means is, you know, the legislature is the one that appropriates. So if they say we don't have this $24 million, we thought we had $283 million, and now we have $24 million less, what it means is the appropriators are going to appropriate less. So even though the governor's people think we've got that money, if the legislature doesn't pass a bill, House Bill 2, that has that money in it, then it doesn't exist. So we're going to see $24 million less appropriations.
So that means that programs that were going to use that money will not be able to use it.
It means that a lot, particularly of the health and social service programs that have been cut dramatically over the last 3 or 4 years, and they were hoping to get some money back in to kind of build up their programs again, it means they're not going to be getting money. It's going to mean that the money we have is going to be spent on the big ticket items like public education, higher education, public safety, and those also essential programs.
Worthy and important programs. Now,
yes.
what about generating more revenue?
Well, there are always a few tax increase bills, but mostly this year there are tax credit bills being discussed in the Tax and Revenue Committee. I know one of my clients, the American Cancer Society, we have a bill to increase the tax on other tobacco products other than cigarettes, so that would be cigars, snuff, chewing tobacco,
right,
those kinds of things. And that tax hasn't been increased since 1986.
But the time has come.
But those kinds of tax bills, particularly in a Republican administration, we might be able to pass it through the legislature, but she'd probably veto it.
Also, there may not be $24 million worth of tax revenues from cigars.
Well, there's about $7 million worth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So, but what about that? What about Peter Wirth's eternally introduced and eventually, we hope, passed tax on out-of-state corporations.
Well, it's still winding its way through the legislative process in committees. I'm not recalling that it's had a hearing yet, but okay. It's not dead yet.
All right.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Because that's the kind of thing that could bring in plenty of revenue.
Right, and the whole idea of it is to equalize taxes. Here we have the blender again.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the blender.
So we have a bill that would equalize taxes and also put taxes on those large corporations.
All right. So I've asked them to get a new blender.
A quiet blender?
I did. They used to have a quiet blender. It had a cover, but it broke.
I see. Could so you they buy them got, a cover?
They got a wearing blender. No, it's all good. All right.
Okay.
Let's talk about water.
Okay, water. This is what Majority Leader Michael Sanchez has called a sleeper issue, and certainly it is, because, 93% of New Mexico is in extreme drought.
Yeah.
You'd think that this would be the hottest topic at the legislature, that we would be trying to figure out what is going on, what can we do, how can we make more water, how can we get rain. No.
No, we're talking about flunking third graders.
But there are some efforts to do some things, and many of them are coming from Senator Wirth here in Santa Fe. Representative Egoff has a fracking bill to protect the groundwater from contamination from the fluids of fracking.
Right.
Fracking.
Fracking.
And Senator Wirth has a couple of bills. One of the things that's happened in New Mexico is we've kind of eroded the power of the state engineer to control a lot of water issues. And the Supreme Court ruled that his power wasn't what we think the Constitution says it is. And I live out in the southern part of the county, and we have wells going dry out there all the time. And so there's a bill to address this domestic well issue and giving and making sure that the state engineer has some authority when you've got a whole area of the state where the wells are going dry. Does that mean you keep letting people drill wells?
Yeah.
And then there are some bills to provide money for regional water planning so you can get together in your local communities and figure out how you're going to tap the water from a river or how you're going to address the fact that your community is not going to have any water. And even here in Santa Fe, we don't have any bills addressing this, of course, but we created the Buckman Dam diversion from the Rio Chama River. And it's great as long as there's water flowing down the Rio Chama River.
Yeah.
So we do have a crisis. One of the senators from San Juan has proposed a bill to fund some new water judges because we have so many fights over water on people with prior claims and others that want to come in and drill. This is very distracting.
There's a lot of loud people in the cafe. They sound like blenders.
Yes. And then some restrictions on subdivisions, that you come in with your subdivision plan, you've got to prove you have water. Well,
right.
I kind of thought that was already in effect, but this must
too.
Be some clarification on that.
You're listening to the Legislative Update on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and I think we'll just try to talk over this. Somebody said it wasn't as bad. I had a listener say, it's not as bad as you think it is. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
So this is really the kind of thing that I think the environmental concerns of New Mexico, water and otherwise, are probably the things that people should be getting most up in arms about, because this is the future of whether we have a viable state at all.
That's right. That's right. Well, Peter Wirth has a bill in to get a meager $250,000 to do a study of the water supply in New Mexico and do a plan over the next 20 years.
Yeah.
You would think we would have done that.
Yeah.
Do we have to wait till we're in a dire drought? And certainly there have been droughts here in New Mexico before.
We always have to wait until crisis. That
right.
seems to be part of our human nature, no matter how much some people see and talk about the coming looming crisis. I mean, one of the things that's going to have to eventually really be discussed is is cattle. Because, I mean, it takes so much water to basically raise one cow.
Yeah.
And that is a big part of our state. And I like ranchers, and they have a long tradition here. But guess what? It's really, really water intensive.
Well, and Senator Cervantes from Las Cruces is a farmer. And he was saying that it looks like they may not get any water out of Elephant Butte Dam for their farm. Because I drive up and down the corridor a lot, and you look at Elephant Butte and Caballo Dam, and the water has just dropped so dramatically. So, Pete, come on, we gotta do something. It would really be, I think, important to fund this water study, and let's try to come up with some solutions.
Very much so. So a little water study, kind of drop in the bucket, no pun intended, financially, and so that might have a good chance of passing.
Maybe. I hope so. I mean, I hope we can do something.
Now let's talk about education.
Yes. Of course, this is one of the hot issues, as I talk about every year. Education is about 44% of the state budget. I think it's actually declined a little bit, but it's about $2.5 billion.
That's why we're so good.
And there are over 180 education bills, and I don't know how many were actually dropped yesterday, but out of the about 1,000 bills that had been introduced before yesterday, about 180 of them are education. So there's a lot of interest and concern about education, and one of the hot areas is the virtual charter school. And we have a board or commission of education, and they're elected, and their job, their sole job, is to oversee charter schools. And they refuse to give a charter to an out-of-state company, I think it's from Florida, to do a virtual school. And a virtual school is just like doing everything on computer, and you don't have to go to a classroom. And
so you mean you don't go to school?
You stay home and you do it on your computer.
Are you kidding?
That's what a virtual school is.
That's what they want to do in New Mexico.
Well, we already have two virtual charters.
For kids?
One is out of Farmington.
Well, how old are these kids?
Well, I think the one that was just approved over the objections of the commission is a high school, a virtual high school, which may, you know, certainly that's probably better than an elementary virtual school. And I'm assuming the other two are high schools also. But so the Secretary of Education approved this charter school, virtual charter school, and what it means is that kids here would sign up with the school out of Florida, and the state of New Mexico will be paying that company $6,000 to $7,000 per child to teach them.
So you're telling me, Linda Siegel, that they want to send hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of New Mexico tax dollars to a Florida company so that children can stay home in their houses, which may or may not be fruitful learning environments, and not have the socialization experience of having teachers and having gym classes and having music and having kind of interpersonal experiences.
That is what I'm telling you.
Okay, now, remember how we have a laughingstock of the country each week?
But this is a trend. This is a trend everywhere.
I mean,
these
I can see it for
schools.
Community colleges, but for high school and elementary school and middle school, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, this is one of the concerns that some of the Democratic legislators have, and they've introduced a bill that says that that PED cannot contract with private entities to run public schools, including the virtual public schools. And then another Republican senator has a bill to put a one-year moratorium on virtual schools. So there's a lot of concern about, first of all, do these work? I know some of them have some successes And some children certainly can learn from that process.
Well,
but even homeschooling, a lot of homeschoolers then have their children participate in social activities or athletic activities, and you're not getting that with a charter school that's run from another state.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, when you and I get on the air and talk about what's going on in education, one of the points that keeps getting made over and over again is it's not just that we have problems with teachers. Our teachers are great. They're committed people. It's not a budget thing. It's that so many young people come from homes where there is substance abuse, domestic violence, hunger, poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, let's keep those kids at home and put computers in their laps.
Well, those are the kids who are probably not going to be part of the virtual school. It's probably going to be from the higher income, middle class family that has the computer. But still, then the question is it offensive that state tax dollars are going to an out-of-state company to teach our kids?
Now,
when we have our public schools who, because they're losing lots of these kids, are unable to provide as much as they'd like to do.
Where's the Secretary of Education from?
She did work in Florida, and I believe she worked in Texas, too.
Oh, okay. So she wants to send it to a Florida company that she knows from having... All right, I'm going to stop editorializing now.
Well, a couple of... Do we have time to do a couple of the other hot issues?
Yeah.
Of course, the other hot education issues, as I said, there are a lot of education bills introduced. And there are the competing bills on the social promotion remediation issue. You know, last year we talked about the bills that were keep kids... Stop them in the third grade if they can't read and provide remediation. And many of the public schools totally support the remediation piece but don't think that parents should have no say in whether their child is held back in the third grade. So there's the bills with the holding back and the remediation, and then there's the bills that just say, okay, let's involve the parents and everybody else who has knowledge so that they can have input about what should happen to this child, but let's start providing this remediation everywhere, wherever a child is. If it's the fourth grade or the sixth grade and they can't read, let's get these extra tutors in there and help them read. But it becomes about politics and the different philosophies of it. And what happened last year is because of that, nothing passed.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed that in the United States, we rarely look to other countries and how they're doing things properly. And in New Mexico...
Like healthcare?
Like healthcare and like education. I read a long article about how the education system works in Finland, which produces the best students in the world.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And in Finland, the teachers are trained with the same level of seriousness, respect, and professionalism as doctors and lawyers. They are very well paid. There are no standardized tests until the last day of the 12th grade. And basically, teachers do whatever they want with their students. Once they're trained, they have tremendous latitude in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that we do, and, you know, it's at least worth looking at.
Right.
And not that we can just make the finished model overnight tomorrow, but, you know, to study those models. And in New Mexico, we don't seem to look at what other states are doing that have good public education systems.
Well, I guess we are looking at other states, but maybe not the ones we want to emulate. I mean,
Connecticut has a great public education
mm-hmm.
system, for example.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much they spend per child. That's another question.
Yeah. All right.
All right, then the other hot bill is the teacher evaluation. How are we going to use test scores to evaluate the teachers? Are we going to use other factors that flow into the success of a teacher, teacher effectiveness, or do we think the kids are really learning? It's really hard, I think, to evaluate a teacher who's in a very poor school where half to three quarters of the kids are not English language learners and evaluate them on a test score. And again, we have the philosophical differences, Republicans, Democrats, and we have the bills that track those philosophical differences. And what they seem to be doing in the education committees, the Senate and House education committees, is bringing forth both of the different philosophical approach bills and then getting ready to have these hearings where they look at, can we combine anything of these two to get some kind of compromise?
All right.
Remains to be seen.
Remains to be seen, ladies and gentlemen. So Linda Siegel is with us just about every Friday on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Well, every Friday.
Every Friday.
Doing the legislative update until the end of the legislative session, which is in exactly a month.
Yes. Yes, the last day to introduce is the 30th day, and that was yesterday. So here we go on the last 4 weeks.
Right, March 15th. Well, Linda, thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to the next update.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break, and then Diane Karp will be with us, speaking of the arts. And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. She's with us just about every other Friday, speaking of the arts. Hello.
Hi, I'm the non-Rob DeWalt.
You're the non-Robert Knott, too.
I'm the non-Robert Knott, too. So I'm the non-Rob Robert.
And you are Diane.
Indeed.
And you went to 1 Billion Rising.
I did. I allowed the entire staff of the Art Institute, not only allowed, I kind of helped them to see that this was valuable. It didn't take much help. And we all went down to the Roundhouse. And I have to tell you, we also took some young women that we work with or that we know, and for them it was the first time that they had ever gotten involved in a public demonstration.
Nice.
And all of them had the same response, that it was moving and powerful, and it felt good to be standing up for what you believe.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was great about it, and I really have to take my hats off, all my hats, to the people who organized it, it was very, very well done. And you felt this marvelous connection. And after the Roundhouse, we all marched our way down with police motorcycles and the great Axel Contemporary van to the rail yard. And everyone was able to upload the photographs and the videos that they had created.
Wow.
And watch them mixed with the videos and photographs from 1 Billion Rising demonstrations all over the world.
All over the world.
It was...
I mean, they were rising in Uzbekistan and probably, you know, Indonesia and...
You know, there's
Chile and
there's
Peru.
There's a great statement. Gandhi once said, half of life is just showing up. And the other piece is that you have to be and enact the change that you want to see in the world.
And the other half is dancing.
And dancing makes both of those perfect. Singing, dancing, it was cool. It was wonderful. It made me very proud.
Excellent. So let's talk about some of the things that are going on this weekend.
Oh, much going on this weekend.
And coming week.
And coming week. So tonight and today, there's a lot happening. Tonight in concert is Peter Mulvey, singer-songwriter, and he's going to be at the Garrett Desert Inn.
Nice.
They have a new sort of room there for performance, which is really a lovely space.
Yeah, we used to dance salsa there.
Yeah, it's a really nice, it's a kind of intimate space, and it feels warm. So Peter Mulvey is going to be there, and you can get tickets at the door, or if you want to go online, you go to brownpapertickets.com, and you can get them. But it's really going to be a sort of warm and comfortable evening there. If you're not in the mood for singer-songwriters, the Beauty of the Father, the Theater Works presentation of Nilo Cruz's drama, about Garcia Lorca, which is in its last weekend, and also the Benchwarmers as well is going to be available.
And also Warriors, A Love Story.
And that's just what I was going to say. And the other thing that's in its final weekend is Warriors, A Love Story, the performance that's at the Arcos performance that's at CCA.
Which I thought was terrific.
It is terrific. And I have to say once again, we have to give credit and acknowledge the people who are curating these amazing programs. Aaron Elder, who's the new curator and director of programs at CCA, has brought a lot of life to that space. And the Munoz Waxman space, which is sort of this enormous hall of a space, works beautifully for this performance. So I recommend it to everybody. And again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the last weekend.
Awesome.
So take your opportunity to go and see.
Girls' Night Out at Vanessi.
Yes.
Vocal powerhouses Gwen Lenore and Cynthia Becker with an instrumental all-star lineup tonight from 8 to 11. And that's on West Water Street here in Santa Fe. And open mic night at Vanessi with pianist David Geist and newcomer Bob Finney on Sunday, the 17th of February, from 5 to 10 in the afternoon. Vanessi is on West Water Street, 982-9966.
Vanessi is one of those spots that you can always count on having some interesting music, performance on piano, performers by voice. Having David Geist there is going to be a real treat. But the whole idea of a small cover, a place to get a nice glass of wine and something cool to eat, Vanessi's has been very supportive of all of the nonprofit sector for many, many years. And it's a good thing to go out, hear good music, and support them.
Excellent.
On Saturday, Lori Carcillo with Straight Up. She's an amazing jazz vocalist, and she's going to be performing with our very own local Straight Up Ensemble at St. John's College. It's the Music on the Hill Elevated Series, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. The doors open at 7 p.m. It's the Great Hall at Peterson Student Center, and there is a charge. This is not one of their free performances.
Okay.
If you're not up for jazz vocalists and jazz ensembles, Sandra Wong, Greg Tanner Harris, and Ross Martin on vibraphone, fiddle, and guitar are going to be performing at Gig Performance Space at 7:30 p.m., same evening, Saturday evening.
And Alan Mundy and Elliot Rogers are doing a concert and workshops. Alan Mundy will give a bluegrass banjo workshop at 1 o'clock, and Elliot Rogers gives a songwriting workshop at 3 o'clock, and the concert is the same evening, and that's all tomorrow, Saturday, February 16th at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space.
Another thing happening on Saturday the 16th, and something that everybody needs to think about supporting,
just
is the KSFR benefit.
Yes.
And that's going to be Is Democracy Over?, a talk by Marty Kaplan with a reception and wine and hors d'oeuvres from 5:30. The reception takes place, and then at 6:30 it's the talk, and it'll be followed by a conversation and discussion between Marty Kaplan and our very own Craig Barnes. So that's up at Museum Hill Cafe. It's Saturday night. The tickets are not expensive in light of everything that you are getting to experience, and it's in support of KSFR.
Yes, indeed it
so
is.
So let's come out and support the most remarkable public radio station in the nation.
And I just wanted to add that the banjo, bluegrass, and everything workshop is on the campus of the College of Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And for more information on that, 473-6196. And as far as the Marty Kaplan, yes, you know, we do benefits every year of different kinds, and of course we ask people to show up for our fund drives. But this is a big event,
yes.
And some people haven't heard of Marty Kaplan. Definitely, definitely worth going.
Absolutely. Marty Kaplan teaches the history and practice of media and human communication at the Annenberg School at the University of California. I think it's at Berkeley.
Now, Issa Nyafaga, whom we've had on the air a number of times, who is an artist and political activist from Cameroon, is starting a radio station, trying to get the equipment and everything to start a radio station, and build a tower, and is asking for contributions on his Kickstarter campaign. It's called Radio Taboo. But he is having a little film screening and talk at the Travel Bug
on
tomorrow.
Sunday. Oh, Saturday. You're right. Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Sorry. At 5:30.
At 5:30. Mm-hmm. It's 5:30 to 6:30, mm-hmm. And it's all about radio for social change in Cameroon. And basically, Here's what he says. You see what the authorities have done to me for speaking my mind in the press, but they could never take my soul or my inspiration and ability to survive. And he, like Eve Ensler and all these people who are doing work around the world, is there to stop the cycle of violence and suffering in his country and bring so much of his cultural beauty to us here in Santa Fe by teaching and performing. So definitely worth going to that.
And
before the Marty Kaplan.
Exactly.
Tomorrow at 5:30.
Came to Santa Fe because he had an emergency residency for 3 months
at the
Santa Fe Art Institute. The role of the Art Institute to provide time and space for artists and writers and activists who need to have an escape sometimes is essential. And that's where we started in 2001 with our emergency residency. And it continues.
Yeah, with
makes
with
a big difference.
Yep, and you were there for Katrina. So Travel Bug tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, 5:30. And I just got an email from him saying if everybody who was his Facebook friend gave $7, the campaign would...
Well, the campaign is actually really moving. But if you would like to put a little bit of money into a very big project that will affect enormous social change, please go to his Kickstarter website and pitch in what you can.
All right.
On Sunday, there's an amazing opening. The Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, or as we like to call it, MIAC, is opening What's New in New, Recent Acquisitions. It's an annual exhibit that celebrates the gallery's namesake, Lord Kivanu, who was one of the great native artists who was seriously interested in bringing native art into the contemporary educational model. He's one of the founders of IAIA. So I recommend heading over there. There's going to be a reception, dances, all kinds of hands-on activities, artist demonstrations, artists talks at MIAC from 1 to 4 on Sunday. Also, there's a book talk, Declaration of Interdependence with Mother Earth. It's a KSFR radio host, Farron Dancer, and co-host Michael Aun in conversation with IAIA student sustainability members. 11 a.m. at Collected Works.
Exactly. Now, this week's featured cat, the kitty of the week.
Oh, the kitty.
Is available for adoption from Felines and Friends, and her name is Nizzi. Is it Nizzi, or if you're Italian, it would be Nizzi. Very sweet little girl. Nizzi loves to sleep in her covered cat bed. She's a very beautiful Maine Coon mix.
Ooh.
With a long coat and Torby, which is tortoiseshell tabby markings, and a very beautiful face. So if you are interested in adopting Nizzi, call 505-316-2281 or go to fnfnm.org. That stands for Felines and Friends New Mexico.org, or you can email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com.
Another thing that's going to be related to what's new and new at MIAC is a conversation called What's New? Contemporary Native Arts Speak Series. And Linda Lomahefstowa and Marla Allison are going to be talking about their work in conjunction with the opening of What's New and New. And that's going to take place at 2 p.m. at the O'Keeffe Theater, the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture. So lots going on up there at Museum Hill.
Now, the Opera Breakfast Lecture Series continues tomorrow with guest lecturer Desiree Mays on Verdi's Rigoletto. Director Michael Mayer has placed his new production of Verdi's towering tragedy in Las Vegas in 1960.
Yes, it's the stage, the costume, it's absolutely fantastic.
And
it looks a little bit like a cross with a modern-day Broadway musical.
Amazing.
Well, yeah.
The pre-opera breakfast lecture is tomorrow morning at 9:30 at Collected Works Bookstore.
Yes.
And
great coffee while you're listening.
Yes.
Keep you awake. And then you can move right on to the Met, to the HD presentation at the Lensic.
Now, you mentioned the Sunday event of Journey Santa Fe with the IAIA students.
I did.
Okay.
I did. Other things that are going on Sunday, not necessarily during the day, that you might want to take advantage of. Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra and Chorus is doing their Birds and Brahms, featuring violinist David Felberg at 4 p.m. There's going to be a pre-concert lecture at 3 p.m., and it all takes place at the Lenzic on Sunday. And if you're up for something slightly different, Serenata of Santa Fe, which is the chamber music ensemble, is going to be presenting what they call Sonic Geniuses. And Sonic Genius, and all kinds of performers, oboists and flutists and pianists, mostly focusing on the music of Mozart, Rieger, and Kenji Bunch. And Rieger is a composer that sort of fell out of favor for a while, so you'll get to be reintroduced to him 3 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Center on Sunday.
And just to close out the Collected Works events this week, on Thursday the 21st of February at 6 o'clock, Muse Times 2 Poetry Series is having poet D.A. Powell. The second poet had to cancel, unfortunately, and D.A. Powell will read and then have a conversation with the wonderful Santa Fe poet, Carol Moldaw.
Yeah. Carol, I think Carol Moldaw is actually the curator of this series this year.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. But Dana Levin, God bless Dana Levin, she's amazing, is the one who's basically getting it organized and getting it out there.
Yep.
On Monday night, Southwest Seminars, it's interesting, there are two lectures, one right after the other. The first is Southwest Seminars, Ancient Sites and Ancient Stories lecture series. It's a presentation on Chimney Rock, the ultimate Chaco outlier. And it takes place, the talk is given by Jason Chupka at 6 p.m. at the Hotel Santa Fe. And then following that is the Stone Calendars of the Southwest, the lecture by Ron Barber, which is presented by the Santa Fe Archaeological Society. It's their monthly lecture series. And so you go from the Hotel Santa Fe at 6 p.m. with Jason Chupka to the Marriott Courtyard, which is down on Cerrillos Avenue at 7:30. Both of them very interesting lectures about our environment.
And there is a solidarity rally with the Washington, D.C. action calling on the administration to reject the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. And so there's a huge demonstration in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. And for those who can't go but are here in Santa Fe and want to go to that, it's on the East Concourse of the Roundhouse.
At 11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. On 11 to 1 on Sunday morning. And lots of different groups will be there. And for more information, 577-7750.
Again, it addresses the idea that we have to be the change we want to see in the world. We can't sit back and let everybody else be responsible for showing up and addressing the dissent and the opposition position to the major corporate sort of structure of fossil fuel in our country.
And tomorrow at 7:30, the New Shoots Trio. Did you read that one already?
No, I didn't.
New Shoots Trio with Sandra Wong, Ross Martin, and Greg Harris.
Oh, I did. Sorry.
Okay.
I did.
All right.
I didn't know it was called New Shoots Trio. Sorry. That was my bad.
Well, now we've been at Gig.
At Gig, yes. On Tuesday, Hilary Hahn, who is a phenom. Hilary Hahn is one of those young women, she's in her mid-30s now, who has been a serious classical solo performer on the violin for years. I mean, for 25 years. At age 10, she went off to Curtis to be a phenom and be trained. By the time she was 12, she was performing with the Baltimore Symphony
Curtis being a major music and art school.
Curtis, yes. Curtis is one of the great art conservatories of the world. And, you know, I lived and worked and taught in Philadelphia and so had heard about Hilary Hahn. And one of the things that's quite extraordinary is she's a really fine human being who's got a handle on the fact that she's got an amazing gift. And she's a young woman, so a lot of her performances are clocked on YouTube. She has a lot of social media presence. And one of the projects that she's presenting is she made a challenge to major composers, living composers, hard to challenge the dead ones, and asked if they could create some new encore pieces. And an encore piece is a very short, sort of wonderful interlude that can be placed at the end of concerts.
Right.
But she doesn't use it that way. This encore form is now a form that she uses within the concert.
Nice.
So it's going to be all kinds of music, but these new compositions, which she gave the composers full latitude, other than the amount of time that it takes to perform it, are going to be the sort of center stage of this performance. And that's Tuesday night. It's going to be at the Lansing. There's a great story in PASA, so you can read about it, or just go to Tickets Santa Fe.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Saturday, tomorrow, from 10 to 12, is the Love Your River Day Santa Fe River Cleanup.
That's right. Show up at Frenchie's Field.
Frenchie's Field, and there's a barn over there, and Agua Fria, and Osage, and they're asking us all to give a Valentine to the river and take the trash out of the river and hang out with friends, and you can register, get an assignment. You can have hot coffee and hot chocolate and donuts and all kinds of things. For more information, santafewatershed.org or 820-1696.
The thing that everyone needs to remember, last spring we organized a community sort of celebration, not only of the restoration of the river, which is extraordinary, but the development and almost completion of the Santa Fe River Trail, so that you can get on a bicycle or a skateboard or you can walk rather than being out on the roads in traffic from one end of the city to the other. And again, I think it's important to give a high five to Brian Drypulcher, who's the river connector in the city, and to Leroy Pacheco, because both of them are in the Trails Department, and they have begun and continue to work to transform Santa Fe into a more pedestrian and bike-friendly environment. And you get to go along the river. It's gorgeous. So come out, help to clean it up, help to be a steward for the beauty of this city.
And we don't usually talk all that much about Albuquerque things, but I just have to say that tomorrow night at the South Broadway Cultural Center, AMP Concerts presents Masters of Hawaiian Music.
Ooh, aloha.
So, aloha. I love that stuff.
So, yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. The whole idea of the ukulele just makes me smile.
I know. AmpConcerts.org will tell you all the many other things that are going on there. So it's a lot of good stuff.
The folk band, He's My Brother, She's My Sister, opens at 7 p.m. at the Santa Fe Soul Stage on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. The tickets are amazingly inexpensive, and the performance is going to be really strong. So,
and the Santa Fe Community College Biofuels Center of Excellence is offering a free 3-day workshop to prepare students for work in biofuel technology fields, and that's, well, gosh, it starts in 8 minutes.
Everybody run!
I should have read this last week, but anyway, you can call 428-1866 for more information, or greentraining@sfcc.edu, or you can just sort of go down there and check it out and see what's going on.
The Lannan Foundation. The Lannan Foundation has supported some of the most brilliant writers and opiners and scholars and voices of social justice, cultural freedom, environmental responsibility. And they are going to be bringing climate scientist James Hansen to the Lansing on Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
Which is sold out.
I know it's sold out, but if you go, they always have a flat screen in the lobby.
Oh,
and
good.
You can sit yourself down on the floor or sit on a chair and listen in, even if there aren't tickets. Oftentimes people turn in tickets they can't use.
Right.
But this is going to be one of the most important talks that everyone is going to be allowed to listen into. James Hansen was the NASA scientist who back in the 80s basically his prescience forecast and spoke about everything that has happened in terms of climate change, and we didn't pay attention. So we have to pay attention now. And
we did pay attention, but the politicians didn't pay attention.
Well, I don't even think we all believed it. I think that it's all coming true, and now we have to believe it, and we have to stand up for change. He's going to be talking with Shubhankar Banerjee.
Yay.
And Shubhankar, who is, again, here in Santa Fe because of the Lannan Foundation, Shubhankar was the one who did a brilliant photographic study of the Arctic and the wildlife refuges up there, and confronted the U.S. government and Congress on their plans to drill.
Well, and
in
really,
the refuge.
They confronted him because he just had this basically art show up
Well, but it was very much about
right.
the fact that the Arctic Refuge was alive.
It was about the Arctic Refuge was alive, but he became a political activist because it
yes.
so happened
yes.
that Congress was dealing with the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, and his show became suddenly controversial.
Well, controversial to a point where they took it out of the lobby
right.
and stuck it down in this sort of tunnel
basement.
Connector
right.
in the basement between the House and the Senate. And indeed, he became an environmental activist. Art
speaking
is powerful.
Of, yep. Speaking of what's going on in other places, okay, Taos. In Taos tomorrow night at the Taos Mesa Brewing Company, Tom Nielsen is doing political satire, parody, commentary, and social commentary. And for more information, you can call 575-770-3377. That's at 7 o'clock, Taos Mesa Brewing Company.
And while you're up there in Taos, checking out the brewing company's brew, stop in at the Harwood Museum. The Harwood has some beautiful exhibitions that are up now, but the one that is most interesting to me is an exhibition of Eva Mirabal, Ea Hawa, and Jonathan Warmday Cumming, a mother and son who were very important illustrators and artists, especially during the Second World War. Eva Mirabal went off to join the Women's Corps during the war and did a lot of important posters and documentation. She created comic strips. This is a woman who had a very powerful voice and used it. And the Harwood is doing a major exhibition to acknowledge that.
Now, there's another event that's tonight and tomorrow. A performer coming in from out of town doing a play called, woman, I think it's a one-woman show called GGG, Dominatrix for Dummies, by Eleanor O'Brien. And that's tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And I don't know what the space is, but it's at 744 Calle Mejia.
I don't even know where that is.
In Santa Fe. I don't either. But for more information, area code 503, not 505, but 503-298-9042. Or maybe the easiest thing of all would be to go to dancenakedproductions.com. She was laughing. I'm going to say it again. Dancenakedproductions.com. GGG, Dominatrix for Dummies.
Excellent. On Thursday night, there's going to be a really interesting talk at SAR. And SAR tends often to do these fabulous brown bag lunch lectures. But this is the president of SAR, James Brooks, who from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. is going to be at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium. And he's talking about cycles of evangelism in the Southwest borderlands. And what he's proposing, which is fascinating, is that Catholicism was not the first evangelical system to come through, and he's also proposing that women were at the very core of these transformations of belief systems. So it's a very different way of thinking about Puebloan culture here, and probably interesting.
And he will be on the air next week on
Excellent.
The Radio Cafe.
He should be a very interesting conversation.
And I just went to dancenakedproductions.com and found out that on Sunday morning from 11 to 1, there is a workshop at the Lodge called Expanding the Erotic Imagination. So all kinds of things are going on. But don't forget Marty Kaplan tomorrow night, benefit for KSFR.
And one other thing that's really amazing, there's organization called Art-O-Matic. It was founded by Clark Whittington, and the local representative is Victoria Brown. And what Clark did was he went around and bought these beautiful old cigarette dispensers, and he turned them into art dispensers. So for $5, you can get a piece of art, and not only can you collect it, but artists in Santa Fe who are interested in getting to know this sort of phenomenon can go, and collectors as well, to a meet and greet at the Santa Fe launch on Saturday, February 16th, from 1 to 5 p.m., and it's going to take place in the hallway of El Centro de Santa Fe down on Water Street. So come out. It's a fabulous idea. It's sort of democratizing the arts. It's inexpensive, it's fun, and it's a recycling system of some enormous potential.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Please write and say hello or any comments if you listen to the show. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, jazz. Everybody have a great weekend.
Great weekend.